Brother Dan, you
Brother
still
Dan.
there? Brother Dan, can you hear us?
I don't see Brother Damon.
No,
Yeah, his video's not working, but his audio was earlier.
the head of what? And Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Then he says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It seems there that Paul is telling us that Jesus Christ washed the church, and one day he's going to be able to present it before him holy and without blame. I love that verse. Now I want to read one from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 21st verse, where the Apostle Paul very plainly tells us concerning Jesus Christ that he knew no sin, but that he was made sin by taking our sins upon himself. And he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I'm going to have to find my glasses. In all the confusion tonight, I dropped them. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way someone that Jesus Christ has made righteous could ever be sent to a devil's hell, I agree with what Brother Pat Bird used to say. Brother Pat Baird used to say that God would ransack hell and tear it all to pieces to get him out because he has no sin. He's been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll go to the book of John. And there's a lot of things in this book that surely teaches us without any doubt that Jesus Christ saved all of his people from all of our sins. In the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus in the 36th verse says, but I said unto you also have seen me and believe not. He was talking to some of his Jewish brethren. And he said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast him out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose none, but raise him up again at the last day. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for the elect people that God gave him before the world was ever created. Paul teaches us that in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. When he tells us, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a wonderful statement. God's children are going to be presented holy and without blame before God one day. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That doesn't sound like that he's a failure anyway to me. I believe with all my heart that everyone that Jesus Christ died for will live with him in heaven after this life is over. Not one will be lost. All of God's elect family will be saved. John, our Lord so said that, didn't he? But should raise it up again. None should be lost, but raise it up again at the last day. He's already raised us up in the new birth, from death and sin to life in him. And while we live here, we should praise and honor him for what he's done for us, bringing us from under the bondage of sin to life in him. There's another couple more verses in John 10 that I want to read. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Bible teaches that there are two classes of people in this world, sheep and goats. Sheep, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, if he laid his life down for the sheep, if he shed his blood to them, they're going to all be cleansed from all of our sins, and not one of them will be lost and go to a devil's hell. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. If Jesus Christ laid down his life of the sheep, I believe with all my heart that all of the sheep will one day be with him in heaven. And then there's another place in the Gospel of John that I want to read that's found in the 10th chapter. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Sounds like to me it's a very personal thing. Sounds like John says in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when they shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. All of God's children that Jesus Christ died for on the cross will be raised from death and sin alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let's go to one other place in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. For thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It looks like to me that it would be plain enough for anybody to read the scriptures and see that Jesus Christ came into this world for a particular reason, and that reason was to save his bride from their sins. Oh, that the Father give it to me. He's had power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I don't think you can add to it, and I don't think you can take away. I've had somebody to tell me, you know that Jesus Christ's death was for the universal world. He died for all, and you got to accept him and believe on him before you can be truly saved. I believe that's a lie straight out of hell myself. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I did say it anyhow. And I call anybody that preaches that a false prophet. Anybody that preaches that Jesus Christ's death on the cross did not save his people from their sins has got to be a false prophet. I may be talking too loud to y'all because I don't know. I know I'm talking pretty loud to myself. And then I want to turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A lot of people don't know what the word now means. And I think I do. I think it means right now. To those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, they are free from any condemnation. And here's the reason why. The law of sin and death condemned us and made us sinners. And we were sinners in the eyes of Almighty God. But there was a law that was higher than the law of sin and death. And Paul tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There was a law that was higher, much higher than the law of sin and death. And that was the law of life that was in Christ Jesus, which has set us free from all of our sins. We shall never be condemned. Not one of God's children that Jesus Christ died for will ever be condemned, because Jesus died for them and God justified them. You know, I see signs beside the road sometimes that says, God loves you. And I hope it does mean that for me. But I don't think it means that for everybody that goes up down that road like the sign, people to put the sign up. There are sheep and goats. Jesus Christ loved his sheep and gave his life for them. And if anybody that thinks that God loves everybody would just turn to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, it's very, very plain that Jesus does not love everybody. In the 9th chapter, we begin reading at the 11th verse. Are the children, not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Then Paul asked the question, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? For he saith, God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. These children have never done anything right or anything wrong. Not anything good or anything evil. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I heard a man recently say that that was talking about nations. These two boys were describing nations. I don't believe that. I believe it means exactly what it says, that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. We go back to the book of Hebrews, I think is what I want to go to now. I want to go to the first chapter and begin reading. I heard Brother James Isaac preach this one time at the North Georgia Fellowship meeting. He says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past on the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Brother James said, everything that's needed to send one of God's children to heaven is explained right there. And I know what the word purge means. The word purge means to cleanse. I'm very familiar with that because when we were children growing up home, Daddy would say to us five boys, he'd say, it's time to purge you. And we all would almost begin to run because we knew that we were going to get a big dose of purging. And it cleansed us out. I haven't been cleansed out since then. Since I left home, I don't think I've taken one more dose of castor oil or anything like that. And then there's another verse in Hebrews 10 and 14 that should satisfy any open mind that what Jesus has done is done well. He said, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Is there any way that anything could be any better than perfection? For he, by one offering, not two, not three, by one offering, and that offering was made on Calvary's cross when the Son of God was hung suspended between heaven and earth and gave his life as a ransom price for the elect family of God. I believe that with all my heart. Then I want to turn over to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and just read a few verses in that chapter. And I think everybody that's listening to me would know exactly what I'm going to read. The 10th verse says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see all the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Jesus Christ was perfectly satisfied when he died on the cross. He saw the travail of his soul. He saw what that suffering was going to accomplish. He saw that one day his bride would be in heaven with him, that they would be made like him, wonderfully, wonderfully made like him, and would forever be with him and be satisfied as he is satisfied. I thank God for such a glorious truth as we have in the Word of God, in the King James Version of the Bible. So many people are using other versions now, and I've read a few of them. And a lot of the verses that we use to prove what we believe is interpreted in such a way that you cannot prove what we believe. I hope that some way, somehow, I've said something that might have prompted somebody. You know what I believe about limited atonement now. You know that I believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for the church, and that one day the church will be gloriously presented to him. May God bless you all, is my prayer.